This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
And it's good morning to you, and to you, and especially to you, Habibi. My name is Alan Ford, and this is the way we start the magical music of the Middle East. The seductive music, the beautiful music of the Middle East. And it's so good to be with you on CliffCentral.com. I love celebrating. I just got back from Lebanon, so I'm very, very, very nostalgic. Irish blood and Lebanese blood. It's very interesting because we're going to talk about Celtic music in a short period of time. But that is Mashrou Layla with a show song called Roman. So there's good morning to you, and to you, and especially to you, Habibi. Isn't it? That's so seductive, isn't it, guys? It's just a nice way to like start the show in somewhere.
Mm, it is.
Very special guest in the studio, Christine Weir, very famous for years. Of Not the Midnight Mass. And of course, you've got Christine and the Celtics.
Christine and the Kilts.
Kilts, I mean, Kilts, not the Celtics, the Kilts. But the Kilts include Celtics.
That's right. The Kilts sing Celtics.
Stuff. Yeah. Sorry, hold on. A piece of Celtic song.
That's right, yeah.
But it's Christine and the Kilts.
That's correct, okay. Yeah.
All right. And then two phenomenal actors have joined us in studio. The exceptional Graham Hopkins.
Hello.
Years and years in the business. 35 years?
35, I think. It's 35 coming years. Coming up for 35, yeah.
And Anthony Coleman.
Hello, good morning.
And 25 years.
25. In the business. Somewhere around there.
Two seasoned great actors, actress in studio. And I think what a nice way to open the show with some of the, I think, magical music, because I think it's always good. And also to have great, great stars in the studio. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for calling us stars.
Yeah, you are stars. You are stars. You know, a star is someone that is able to sustain, I think, in this business for how many years, Christine, have you been?
Probably about the same as Graham, maybe slightly less, maybe 32 or something, time.
20s and 30s, 30s years.
Yeah.
On that stage.
Yeah.
Forming between thousands and tens of thousands of people that in your life, even hundreds of thousands, if you think about it. I mean, with the pantomime, at least hundreds of thousands. So it's really good to have you in studio. Thank you for joining us. Also, later on in the show, we're going to chat to the winner of The Voice, Craig Lucas. He's in a great show called Born to Perform Shine, happening at The Lyric. And they've got some great other people, Tim Deka, Ngumi, who was also part of The Voice, the winner, Paxton, the winner of Idols, and Craig Lucas won The Voice, the recent winner of The Voice South Africa. Also interesting, we want to talk about, it was all over Twitter this week. Craig has discussed that he's finally dealing with the fact that he suffers from depression, and partly that's because he hasn't been out the closet and homosexuality. Okay. So we're going to talk to him about that, but we're not we're talking about the show. That's, I think, more importantly. And then, when I say this word, Graham, to you, and I say the name Delia Sainsbury, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Their school in Cape Town and
the Waterfront Theatre College.
Keith and Delia. I remember watching them on television, early days of television.
Yeah. So I've got to tell you that we have got her on the line, and we're going to chat to her in a moment, because this is something quite special. The Waterfront Theatre College is touring around the country with open auditions.
Wow.
And usually it doesn't work like that. Hmm. And so on the line, welcome to the show, Delia Sainsbury.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us, and I'm so happy that you are. And I mean, again, look at this—the group of thespians we have in studio, Dita, with Graham Hopkins, Anthony Coleman, Christine Weir, and yourself. Firstly, years in this business. The question is, what does it take to make it in this industry?
Wow, that is such a difficult question.
I know.
You mean apart from luck and the gods smiling on you and saying you're going to be the next Charlize Theron? I don't know. I think probably, if we're talking about longevity of career, I think it lies in, first of all, it lies in your training. You've got to have a first-class training, and the training must result in what you personally want from your future. you know, it doesn't matter where you train, as long as you are going to get the end result that you want. It's not a question of going to university or going to a technicon or anywhere else. It depends what you want your outcome to be. I also think it's a question of versatility. I know with the Waterfront Theatre College, it was based on the same principles of the theatre school that I went to in London, where we were all trained, even in the very early days, to be what's called the triple threat, which I know that is a kind of phrase that's banded around now. But if you've got a really strong level of dance, drama, and singing ability, well, basically, you're never out of work. So I think you can then turn your hand from musicals to plays to voiceover work to creating your own work. It's a question of getting that versatility of training and then, of course, perseverance. It's a profession that you've got to get used to rejection and you just mustn't give up, basically.
I mean, 40 years in this business and you're not slowing down even more. Okay, and then you quote, of course, the words of Stephen Sondheim, who says, good times and bad times, I've seen them all, and my dear, I'm still here.
Exactly.
And I mean, again, when you sit with people in the studio, you say, this is what it takes. But again, I watched the reality, you know, and I've created two reality shows that they were, well, whatever. People think fame is instant, and the Charlises of the world, and getting onto that stage is an instant thing, and that you don't have to go to school, but you do. You have to go to a. You need to be to have work done on you. True. Obviously.
Well, you know, I'm not quite sure how to answer that question, because people do get famous as a result of reality shows. I mean, there's no doubt about it, and yet, for some people, it is a shortcut. Very few have longevity of career after it. I mean, the instant fame can be because you're the flavor of the month, and that dies very, very quickly. But if you do want longevity in our industry, I think it's like any other industry, it's like anything. It is a question of perseverance and knowledge and being open to continue to learn and work with good directors, good choreographers, and always being thirsty for, you know, looking at new work and exciting work. And again, I think that's probably the secret behind the college, because although, you know, we're now in our 27th year in Cape Town. I mean, I've been teaching, as you quite rightly say, since I first arrived in South Africa. But the secret is also to evolve. You know, the industry is evolving, and if your training institution isn't evolving, then you're going to be shortchanging your students, and they're not going to get out of it what they want.
I'm especially so honored to have you on the show, number one. Number two is it's so cool because if you look at some of the people that have come from the Waterfront Theatre College, people like Ian von Memmerty, Angela Killian, Taryn Lamb, Leah van Niekerk, even I'll never forget seeing Chamand Geldenhuys when he was doing a show with Richard Loring at Richard's place. Okay.
Where he started off.
And I said to him, you're incredible. How did you begin this thing? And he said, I'm working with Delia and the guys at the Waterfront Theatre School. And, you know, a lot of people move from their little dorp towns or from Johannesburg to go specifically to Cape Town to go and work with you. And you see the work come out in all over the show. So congratulations on that. Why the open auditions? And why is this the new for you in your school?
Well, you know, Cape Town's quite far from everything, unless you're a local. And we found we were missing quite a lot of talent by not managing to get to the regions. I mean, basically, because we're auditioning for the full-time school, the part-time school's a whole different ballgame. But the full-time school, they come from all over. In fact, we've got a lot of international students as well. And, of course, most of them are writing the trick. Because if you're looking at them deciding what they're going to do with their tertiary education, if they want to go into the performing arts, then they're also snowed under at this time of the year writing the trick. And we were getting people going, you know, I really want to come to the audition. I can't make it. I just can't get there. I'm in the middle of biology or geography or whatever else.
Well, I don't have the finances to get to Cape Town, for that matter.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's also a problem. I mean, that's also a problem with regard to the whole training process, which is why we are struggling so hard as well to continually fundraise. because we've never, ever wanted the Waterfront City College to be elitist and just to accept the people who can afford to pay the fees. Although I must just add that our overhead being at VNA, we won't even go there, we're absolutely astronomical.
But we try
to do the very best that we can for talented kids from all walks of life. So, I mean, that was my, you know, Keith, my late husband's premise as well. I mean, it was just grab the talent wherever they may come from and nurture it and give them their ticket out of sometimes some very unfortunate backgrounds and give them that ticket to get out of there and realize their dream. So that's why we're doing it now. So we're going to
I love it. I think it's really cool.
We're going to Blom, Durban, PE and Joburg. And, you know, we've got people lined up then that are going, oh, thank goodness you're coming here because now you can see us and in the middle of all of this. We can't get down to you. So we're hoping to find some really great talent out there.
And,
I'm sure we will. We did last year.
And I think that is really very truly brilliant. Dilia, you opened the school in 1992. That's 26 years of magic. I want to just add to the following. Of course, you and your husband, Keith, a legend in his own right. You know, so of course his memory is always kept alive and your work is kept alive. I know that the work that you've done with, I think you and Richard Loring came here at the same time, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, if you think
back. Yeah, well, he was just before me. He came over to do the boyfriend. He came over from England to do the boyfriend. And then we came over, Keith and I, about 2 years later, I think, to do West Side Story. But I mean, Richard and I have been friends ever since. I mean, we have parallel paths exactly. Our daughters are virtually the same age. I've got my eldest daughter in LA. He's got his eldest daughter in LA. It's been quite uncanny, actually. And we've retained that close friendship, as you say, ever since West Side Story days, which is wonderful.
Dilia, if I may ask, I know that it's happening on the 22nd next week at the Red Hill School. Again, I want to give a pun to the Red Fest, which, by the way, is happening the week after next, which is some phenomenal work that they're doing to take young actors and young stars with some of more the veteran stars to perform on the stage, to sing Amanda Strait. I'm going to have some of the top names all there, and obviously performing some phenomenal polka dots they're doing. It's going to be great. I want to give that school a pun because I think they're doing a lot of good work. So you're going to be there on the 22nd. Where are you next? Where are you now?
I'm still in Cape Town at the moment. I've got a big junior show on with about 180 children for my sins. Every year I go, I'm never going to do this again. And every year I do it again. I write an annual musical for the junior school. So at the moment I'm in the process of doing that. We open on Friday. And then next Tuesday we leave Cape Town and we start our, what we call our rainbow tour. Paul Griffiths, who's my business partner, who's absolutely brilliant. I keep trying to not say how brilliant he is because, you know, someone's going to poach him from me for sure. He's probably the best director in the country. And he's going with me, and we're going to go first to Blom on the 19th, Durban on the 20th, 21st is Port Elizabeth, and 22nd is Joburg. So it's a bit of a whirlwind trip, but I'm really looking forward to it.
That's exceptional. So thank you for joining us, Dilia. Don't forget to go to the Johannesburg. We go throughout the world, this particular show. We got listeners all over New York, all over the place, including India and Lebanon. They're everywhere. But if you are in South Africa, don't forget. Can we go to a website, or can I just call the Waterfront Theatre College just to find out where and how it all works?
Yeah, I think the easiest thing, you can go on the website. It's www.waterfronttheatreschool.co.za. Otherwise, you can simply phone the school, which is 021-418-4600.
Dilia, I love to do things simply. You know what? Google it.
Google it.
Dilia Sainsbury, you legend, you. Congratulations. Thank you for the work that you do for the industry. Hats off, and I look forward to having you in studio.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Be well.
Have a lovely day. Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day. Great to have these stars. Now, hold on. Let's... Listen, we always before Hoppers 9 we get someone to sing. So we're going to you're up, by the way. Graham, can you sing, Graham Hopkins?
No, I can't sing.
You must be able to sing.
Double threat.
Firstly, the two of you, this has been going on for some time. By the way, we laugh. It's become the standing joke. Daphne's Place.
Theatre on the Square.
And, of course, then we Nathan Rowe, who's my co-host, he's not here at the moment. He's actually on the field. We have a production company, so half the time we're busy filming on Earth. But here's the thing, is that it's become Daphne's Place. You know, have you been to Daphne's, man? Come on, go to Daphne's. To Daphne. If I see her, she puts on the voice. Pop into Daphne's, man. Daphne's in the square. And so, yeah, Daphne's has become, I love saying Richard's Place, Daphne's Place, Peter's Place, you know, Bernard J's Place. Sure. So that's how we do it. No, it's actually the theatre on the square. Mm-hmm. And I think it's great that Freud's last session, what a very interesting piece that you are doing there. And it is a story, somewhat, of Sigmund Freud, played by yourself, and C.S. Lewis, played by you, Graham, and Anthony.
It's an intellectual boxing match. That's what it is. And in the ring, in the left-hand corner, we have Dr. Sigmund Freud, the father of psychoanalysis, who is suffering from terminal cancer. Mm-hmm. And in the right-hand corner, we have the rumbustious Irish-born C.S. Lewis, who is an Oxford and Cambridge fellow, mm-hmm. and Sigmund Freud is a lifelong atheist, and of course C.S. Lewis, a Christian apologist and a believer in God, and it's the God corner versus the atheism corner, and it's a fantastic debate boxing match, intellectual boxing match. That's how I would describe the play.
Now, I mean, I love that you say that. I mean, because it is the mind versus the spirit. In so many senses.
Well, mind and spirit together, because they both have an element of spirituality about them, but they're also debating in an intellectual, logical way the existence of God. And the atheists say, "There's, you know, show me the proof," and the God apologists say, "Actually, there's got to be a step of faith."
Now, I'm going to ask you the following, because I think it could be interesting, and we discussed this, Anthony and I, before. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the time, Sigmund Freud was 1856 to 1939, and C.S. Lewis was 1898 to 1963. All right. Mm-hmm. And obviously, within this field of Upper English society, it was very possible they could have crossed paths.
It is possible.
It's very possible. We don't know.
We know that they didn't. So it's an imagined meeting between these two.
Okay. And do we know that they didn't?
I think we know that they didn't. It's fairly conclusive.
He met with an Oxford don. We don't know who it was. Mm-hmm. But I think Marc Saint-Germain was imagining that it would be Lewis. It would make perfect sense.
They both knew of each other's work. They both, Lewis wrote critically of Freud's work. Mm. So that's the premise of the play, is that Freud has written him a letter because he wants to talk to him, and he wants to find out how he has changed from his shared atheism to this complete conversion, and he wants to know why and how. And Lewis tries during the course of the play to persuade him. And it's not an argument that either side can win, but it's a fascinating argument to watch and be part of, because, you know, literally they both score points against each other the whole time.
Now, you look at a piece like this and you think to yourself, and you have to, what work goes into preparing for Sigmund Freud, for example? I mean, this is because, I mean, we've seen a lot of people play Freud across the board. Mm. We know the accent, of course, the Austrian side of it, but. I mean, the man was the genius. He created the base or the premise for a lot of
the father of psychoanalysis.
Psychoanalysis. So how did you get into his mind to do the role?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's really, really well written. It's based in fact, in biographical fact, mm-hmm. in terms of who they were. And of course, he was suffering from terminal cancer, oral cancer. He'd had the roof of his mouth removed because he was being eaten away by cancer, and he was wearing prosthesis. So in fact, I wear a prosthesis because one's got to actually simulate that. Mm. And I got a rugby gum guard, and of course I had to trim it down because of the rugby gum guard. You can scarcely speak.
Yes.
But I used that for my upper jaw, and that helps me to have the sort of slight speech impairment that Freud would have had 2 weeks before he died, and that's when it set. And of course, working with Alan Swerdlow, our director, I've worked with him many, many times over the years, and so that was a joy working with Anthony on stage for the first time. We've worked on camera together, but it was the first time we worked on stage, and that was also great, you know.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at this career, 34 years. Some of the best stuff that you think you've done. It's kind of cool.
It's like people say, "What have I seen you in on television?" My friend Theo Landy told me a story about he was on an international movie with Charles Dance, mm-hmm. and somebody did this to Charles Dance. And am I allowed to swear on this?
Yes, you can.
I'm quoting.
You can swear.
I'm quoting.
Again.
But somebody, one of the extras, said to Charles Dance, "Now, what have I seen you in?" And Charles Dance said, "Well, you know, many things over the years." No, but names a few. And Charles Dance said, "Now, listen, I'm not going to stand here and recite my fucking CV to you."
But of recent, I loved you in Tuesdays with Maury.
Tuesdays with Maury, yeah.
An incredible piece, by the way. One of my favorite books of all time, actually.
Yeah, and it translated so beautifully onto the stage. It really did with Asher Stoltz. He and I had a wonderful rapport.
He played Mitch.
He played the journalist who really wrote the story.
My friend Jos van der Westhuizen, God rest him.
Of course,
he had motor neuron.
Yeah.
Right.
And I always said to him, someone gave him the book, and he was about to read the book, and I said, "Don't read the book, don't see the play, don't watch the Jack Lemmon movie produced by Oprah. Don't, because it is scary.
Yeah.
To go through that. Yeah. It's a terrifying."
Of course it is.
I mean, for you, to look at the two roles, both Freud 2 weeks before he dies and then motor neuron.
What it is is the fact that we all do this. We all confront our mortality at some stage during our lives. We like not to think about it. We like to forget about it. But there are times where we do. You know, we have elderly parents who die. Mm. And we know that that's where we're all ending up.
Mm.
Every single one of us at one thing where none of us is going to escape. And we need to know how we're going to approach it. How do we feel about it?
Yeah.
What, you know, and that's why I believe this is such a brilliant play. Mm. Because it speaks to everybody. It's not punting any particular thing. It's the kind of things that we think about all the time.
I'm going to say one thing, coming back to Tuesdays with Maury, because you play that particular role of Maury. The concept of the living funeral, to me, is superb. And the concept is the following, that let people tell you how wonderful you are while you're alive, then say, "Well, you're dead."
Let's have my funeral.
It is one of the most beautiful things. And actually, if we start to live life like that, I do think it could change a lot of the way you see yourself, especially if you see yourself in the, you're not, if you lack slight confidence or you feel not good enough, which a lot of people feel, welcome to the human race. I was actually watching a Lady Gaga interview recently, and she said, "A lot of the time I feel like I'm not good at all."
Yeah.
And she feels that way.
Lady Gaga feels she's
just not cool. Talking about international films and people that you've done, worked with, besides all your work, Anthony, of course, Blood Diamonds are in there with Leonardo DiCaprio. I throw it in just because it's just a bit commercial.
Certainly the biggest job I've been on.
Was it because it's fun?
It was a blast. It was an amazing experience to work with an American budget.
Yes.
Of $250 million. And which I think they made back.
Did you have a trailer?
I had a trailer, yeah.
What's Kraft like? What's it like?
It's damn fine.
I'm just joking. And the accommodation. And of course you filmed in the West.
At the Wild Coast.
And then you also up
in
Mozambique.
Mozambique as well. Okay. Yes, yeah.
A great, and then of course Leonardo DiCaprio, kind of cool.
Yeah, kind of cool.
You had a conversation you mentioned about Mexican wraps.
Yeah. Bad burritos on flights back from Mexico.
Wow.
And the havoc that does to your insides. Which was a weird conversation. The thing about the Wild Coast was amazing. Mm. They built an entire sort of camp, a concentration camp, kind of mining camp that they actually constructed it. That was out of nothing. It was quite something.
Well, it's great having you both in studio. We're going to have some fun in a little while. Christine, hello, dear.
Hello, Ellen.
How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Christina and the Kilts.
Yes, that's
a feast of Celtic song. But I want to tell you something, because in the honor of we started with Lebanese music, yes, and yeah, music of the Mediterranean or yeah, the Middle East, you have performed in a show.
I performed in a show that Harry Sidropoulos put on about 10 years ago, and it was called Songs from the Mediterranean, mm-hmm, and we had to learn everything from Greek to Spanish to Arabic to Hebrew to Lebanese. I mean, we had to learn about 12 languages in 3 weeks and sing it on stage convincingly to convince expats from those countries. And we did learn it, but I can't remember any of it, so please don't ask me to sing any of it
now. Habibi, Anur Alayn.
No.
But what we're going to do, because we've got to do it before 9:30, this is what we're going to do. We've got to do a little bit of Celtic, I think. And I thought nothing is better than the beautiful song called Danny Boy. Okay, now, here's the thing, because we're going to do something now. So
water, clear the vocal cords, yes.
We have no backing track.
No.
Okay, and we have no instruments.
No.
So you have got to do traditional, beautiful Celtic. Imagine that you're standing there on the beautiful, beautiful green grass of Ireland.
Okay, no
on
pressure.
On the potato fields.
Okay. May I say in advance, I have not warmed up. This is early morning. Okay. But hey, we'll enter into the spirit of it.
Okay. All right. So, oh Danny Boy, in 3, 2, 1, cue.
Oh Danny Boy, The papes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountain side. The summer's gone and all the leaves are dying. Tis you must go and I must bide. But call me back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow. 'Tis I'll be there in summer or in shadow. Oh, Danny Boy, oh, Danny Boy, I love you so.
Woo, bravo.
How cool is that?
Bravo.
Early in the morning. How cool. That's inspirational. We're gonna play, I mean, well, hold on, before we play any more things.
Yes.
Not the Midnight Mass ran for how many years?
I think about 25, yeah.
25
I mean, it went.
Years.
We started in 1988, mm-hmm, and we did our last performances in about 2011, somewhere around there. So it was about 25 years, yeah.
I mean, it was an institution.
It was, indeed.
Tell us the start of it. For people that weren't around,
yes,
25 years ago,
yeah,
how did it begin? Tell us.
Well, we were all out-of-work actors, and we sort of got together and decided to create work. That was basically it. So we rehearsed the Hallelujah Chorus, which mm-hmm, was our first piece, and we were looking for somewhere to perform it. And the Black Sun, which was the sort of the hub of actors' activity in those days, mm-hmm, said we could take the midnight slot if we wanted to promote our show. So we took the midnight slot, and we, as a joke, said we are not the Midnight Mass, and that was just how it sort of started. And people really loved it. So it sort of took off from there, and it was in this little cult. It was like a little culty place where mm-hmm, people would come to this dingy little theater and watch mm-hmm, us. And from there, it just grew and grew and grew. And then it sort of reached its peak, I would say. It sort of, that was in 1988, and then about 1990 we went to Cape Town to the Dock Road, and from there it just got bigger and bigger, and we carried on year after year with different people. Graham, my brother, and I started it, mm-hmm, and we carried on running it for many years with different people. Gosh, I can name so many names. Terence Rage, who
now that you Terence Rage is,
yes,
now the
He took over from Mark Knopfler as the lead guitarist of Dire Straits.
I mean that is so cool.
That is like seriously cool. I mean, when he was singing with us, he always said, "One day I'm going to get on stage and play with Mark Knopfler." He idolized Mark Knopfler, and it didn't happen. But he replaced him, so he did just as well. And he's exactly. So he's touring Europe now with Dire Straits, and he's still there. We've got Gideon Emery, who's now in L.A. I'm not sure what he's doing, but he's doing marvelous things in L.A. Who else has been in it? Gosh, there's been so many people. Adrian Galley, who you recently saw in Auntie Merle.
Yes, brilliant.
Brilliant. He's in that. I mean, there's just been so many people that have come and gone from it. I can't even think of all their names now, but there's been many.
Again, and I say this to all of you, because you've all been across the... You've done many different... roles besides just acting in this industry.
Yes,
I mean, you own your own production company, Graham. So cultivating talent, paying it forward,
sure,
teaching people, it's kind of key, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, you're part of a community and you have to participate in that. So absolutely, yeah.
And think about it, because if that's 1988, you wouldn't have culled. I'm not saying that the talent doesn't exist and it wouldn't have the platforms. Yes. It wouldn't have found the platforms.
Sure.
But when you're creating platforms,
yeah,
I think that's key sometimes. That's some of the key magic.
I think that's so important, to continually create your own work if you can.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't wait for someone to phone or the phone to ring or whatever. You just have to continually be creating your own work. Mm. When the phone rings, great, and you can go and do the job, but you can't stop and wait for it. I think that's
absolutely
very important.
Absolutely. I mean, we were talking at Saga the other day about multiple income streams. You can't just, you know, sit and wait for the next audition.
Exactly.
You actually have to get off your backside and make stuff happen.
Exactly. Precisely.
Correct. And now Christina and the Kilts.
Yes.
Again,
something I created as well. I mean, that was my love of Celtic music, and I adore these old Celtic songs, and it's just been something that's grown in Cape Town. We've been performing there for quite a few years, and we've been to Grahamstown, and this is our first, you know, chance at being in Gauteng.
Incredible experience. When I had Three Talk with Nadine,
yes,
we went along to Ireland to see Celtic Woman.
Yes.
No, see Celtic Woman.
Yes.
And to see them create their first music video, or their first, what they call DVD,
special.
At Sloane Castle.
Wow.
And they were unbelievable.
Yes.
And they had all been in the theatre on the West End, and one was related to, I think it was one of the top, I think to Bono. His niece or something.
Yes.
But the whole thing is, when you listen to some of that music, it reminds me a lot of actually the Arabic music.
Yes.
There's something so
absolutely
so deep in it.
Very.
That it's kind of eerie.
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah, I don't know. There's people just
ethereal. Is that even a better word?
No,
ethereal,
definitely.
Actually.
Yeah.
Better word.
Yeah.
So it's some of that magic. Now, on that note, because we're singing, you see, it's nice, and we're going to get you to do a piece from King Lear.
My Scottish grandmother used to sing a Scottish drinking song to me called "Just a Wee Doc and Doris."
Yes.
I don't know if you know that one.
So, this is where it comes up. This is what happens. See, now, stick with me, Christine.
Yeah.
Watch this. This is how it all works. Graham, how did that song go? Please.
Because I kind of remember the whole thing, but
whatever you
started like this: "Just a wee doc and Doris, just a wee doc, that's all. Just a wee doc and Doris, afore we gang a war." And it goes on and on and on, on. And it says, because they've been drinking. Mm-hmm. If you could say, "It's a brobrich moonlich nicht, you're all richt, you're ken."
That's brilliant.
Wow. I've done my singing now. You're not allowed to ask me to sing anymore.
I know. I know a similar one, and it goes something like this. It goes, "I belong to Glasgow, dear old Glasgow toon, but there's something the matter with Glasgow, for it's turning round and round." Yeah, because that's when they come back from drinking.
I love you people. This is cliffcentral.com. My name is Alan Ford. It is really good to be with you today. My three very special guests in studio: Graham Hopkins, top actor, with Anthony Coleman, again another top actor, and of course Christine Weir, who is songstress, actress, producer. Well, you all are producers. You have it. Okay. But incredible stuff. So I thought what we do is you have an album.
Yes, I do. It's called...
Are you selling the album at the show?
At the show, yes.
Because you're opening this week. Next week.
Next Tuesday, yes. Yeah.
Cool.
At Theatre on the Square, yeah.
Theatre on the Square. And so I thought, just for you, Mr. Hopkins and your granny, okay, we would play The Mull of Kintyre. All right, let's play. But you've got to sing with it.
Okay.
Yeah, get involved, Graham. Are you ready? This is for us this morning.
Genuine bagpipes there. Yeah. You've got a bagpipe.
The skirl of the pipes.
The skirl of the pipes, yeah.
Desirous always to be here, O Mull of Kintyre.
That was very well done.
Have I traveled, and much have I seen, dusk distant mountains and valleys of green, past painted deserts, the sun sets on fire as he carries me home to the Mull of Kintyre.
And that's Christine Weir. Don't worry, don't continue. This is really beautiful stuff.
It gets higher. It builds and it gets higher, which at this time in the morning.
That is really
time
beautiful.
To back out.
Yeah, it's time to back out.
That
yeah.
is magic. This is so cool.
Thank you.
Oh, I so look forward. And as you go off the stage, Christine goes on the stage.
On the stage. Yeah.
That is
yes.
the
yeah.
coolest thing.
Yes.
And we'll talk about Freud's last session in a moment, and we'll continue with Christine Weir. something incredible is happening. We talk about the cultivation of talent. The Marinas family, Matthew and Gemma, have got a school. Where they take young artists and young people.
Right.
And they put on a show every year called Born to Perform.
Right.
And this is called Born to Perform Shine. And they bring in some celebrity artists, but you've never seen kids that rock a stage like this in your life. Last year they had the youth orchestra. Brian Schimmel is music director. Mm. It is an unbelievable... What you see kids do on the stage
Wonderful.
Will blow your mind. There's an incredible little story I want to tell you about this school that's in Johannesburg. Is that there's a young man with autism
sure.
who didn't fit in anywhere. So his parents took him to the school. And he sings a song. And, you know, he can't read. He sings yeah. Time to Say Goodbye so beautifully. But this child has found... a spark within him.
Oh, wonderful.
And
wonderful.
Someone with
yeah.
autism. Isn't that incredible? And I love that. And then, so Born to Perform happens Saturday night, 7:30 at the Lyric, and then Sunday, 11 o'clock in the morning and at 2:30, and it's young people, and it's brilliant, and it's going to be packed, so you've got to get your tickets. But we've got some incredible guest artists. Again, it's taking our young talent and bringing them through
sure.
and cultivating it.
Yeah.
In Paxton from Idols, Tambeka Ngumi from The Voice, and the winner of The Voice, Craig Lucas, who now joins me on the line. Craig, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Craig, I'm excellent. Craig, you got to speak up. I'm sorry. The line's not great.
Is it better now?
It sounds better. So, firstly, it's cool to be a part of Born to Perform.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to be a part of the show.
All right. Craig, I do need you to speak up loud, brother. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. It's Vodacom. let's try that again. So just speak loud and clear. Craig, it's nice to be a part of this process, and it's nice to be working with young people. You yourself have just hit the tarmac, as I would say, by becoming a star from The Voice.
Yeah, absolutely. Initially, when they asked me to be a mentor, one of the kids, I thought that I might not be very, because I mean, I just started my career, but just getting to work with a kid from one to the former, incredible. They're so talented and they're so eager, and they just remind me of myself and when I was their age. So I'm pretty excited.
Craig, what was it like winning The Voice? Tell me about that experience.
It was incredible. I didn't think that I would win. I entered The Voice purely so that I could become better as a musician, because I knew that you get so much help on the show. I mean, you get to work with some of the best musicians in the country. So I entered just wanting to become a better musician, but winning the show just completely changed my life. I mean, I went from working a regular 9-to-5 job to getting to live my dream every single day.
And I think that's what it's about, especially if you've got the talent, because you wouldn't win a competition like that unless you did have the talent. Craig, I you know, you said when you won The Voice in July that your dream was to take your mom, and you did this for your mum, on a holiday. Have you been on your holiday yet?
Unfortunately not. I've been so busy.
Okay. The Voice, Craig, I don't mean to interrupt you, Craig. I don't mean to interrupt you, my brother, but let me tell you, tell mommy we'll take on a big holiday, but when the money's coming in, rake it. You got to rake it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been so busy.
Yeah. I've been doing so many shows and traveling. What I've tried to do is take my mom with me to the shows that I do. So I'm doing shows in Jogo, guy. I'm doing it after the shows that I do there. Just so that she can travel with me sometimes. Instead of just like staying up in Cape Town all the time.
Craig, we get people to do this in the morning. Do you feel like singing something for us?
I'm a little sick, so that's
what I'm sound this way. You sound a bit horsey and shame. Okay, yeah. All right. Craig, we'll let you off the hook. Craig is off the hook, but I'm going to get you, Craig. Don't worry, I've got your number. I'm going to get you. So don't worry. You know, we've got, here at Cliff Central, we got plans up our sleeves for you. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, okay.
Craig, I'm so happy that you are a young, talented person that won The Voice this year. You are the top star at the moment. You're all over the place, and it's a really good thing. And I say rake it in because you know, in it happens in the business, and the people, I've got top people that have been in the business 25, 35, some close to 40 years, sitting here with me in the studio, some of the best actors in our country. And there are days when you hit those highs, when you've done the Blood Diamonds and you've done the top shows and you've done Not the Midnight Mass, and then there are those quiet times. So that's why you've got to embrace the times when it's flourishing, and then you've got to cultivate when it doesn't. So just keep that in mind. We just wish you the best, and we just can't wait to see more of you coming up through the ranks and again showing that talent is what it's about, ideally.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. I feel like this is only the beginning, so I'm just excited about what the next year particularly holds. It's been a year since The Voice now, and I sort of want to now start building my band as just a musician and not just a guy who won the challenge. So I'm pretty excited just to work hard and see the people that are doing that work.
Craig, I'm going to have a personal moment with you for a sec. 12 years ago, after doing 702, after doing a lot of television work, I also had the crossroad in my life where I was quite depressed. I didn't know what to do with it, and I realized that if I don't live my truth, I am not going to be able to live my life. And I too came out the closet. Recently, just this past week, all over Twitter and various platforms, you've discussed the fact that you've dealt with depression and that you've come out. How's that been for you? Firstly, do you feel liberated?
Definitely. It's weird. I just feel normal. But I haven't felt normal in such a long time. But normal is so huge for me right now. And I'm able to think straight again. I just don't have to worry about everything I said and how I feel it, the way I went, you know, I was with. And I don't have to worry about these things anymore. So now I've got more time to think about my art and think about what's important. I feel absolutely liberated, and I'm incredibly happy that I did what I did.
Craig, have people known for a while behind the scenes, people like your mom, people like your managers, people that have worked with your friends, or have you kept this under wraps?
A few people knew. My mom did know, and she was like very close to me. But other than that, yeah, it was pretty
Well, Craig, we've got such wonderful things. I've got to tell you that I have now taken over the exec producer role of Mr. Gay World International. So we're going to get you involved with that. It's the most incredible people on earth, by the way, what these people are doing. What the, people from Nepal and India and changing their societies and building shelters for people that are kicked out of their homes and some incredible stuff. So, Craig, you're on the bandwagon to come and join the whole thing. And it's about, you know, the more we can help other people in life,
sure,
the more we can do so many more magical things on this earth. And I want to tell you, I'm very proud of you. And you've got my number, so you can call me anytime. And if you need advice, listen, we've got a whole troop of people that can help you out.
I
mean that, number one. And number two is that I've got to tell you something. It's a statement that I once said. It is really not the most interesting thing about me.
It's just who you are.
There's so many more dynamic things if you want to know. But who I kiss is really not, like, what is it? I mean, really? And I want to share that with you. So just so you know, be who you are, be proud. And I'm proud of you. So just, that's really cool. And I look forward to seeing you Born to Perform, because I think that's the key. I mean, who you kiss, Craigie, it's your thing. I just want to see you sing. Okay, I get better. That's what I think. Craig Lucas,
I was
interested in
the only thing I regret about taking this long is having missed out on being able to help a lot of other kids, because I've gotten so many messages of kids telling me that they might not be able to come out now because they're still living with their parents and they're still sort of dependent on the parents, and they don't know that the parents might not kick them out or whatever, but just knowing that I am happy now sort of gives them hope that they one day too can be out and happy. So the only thing that regrets not taking this long is just, like, I feel like I missed out on helping so many people, but now that I've done it, I'm just so excited about getting to see what else I can do and trying to help as many kids as I can. So what you're doing and what you mentioned now is incredible. So thank you. And if I can be a part of it, I really would love to.
And you're part of it. That's a cool thing. Craig, I'm going to say this. Mentors are incredible, and we can mentor each other in other aspects of life.
Indeed.
Okay? Yeah. That's the first thing. Second thing is that the question, it is never too late, is the fact. And never ever discount your journey, because the journey that you've been through to get to this particular point last week is the journey that you needed to explain, firstly to feel that because it's brave to take the step. Some people have never do it. Number one. Number two, it's so don't discount the journey, because the journey gets you to the point now where you go, oh, what was I thinking? But more importantly, I can I explain and go through that. That being said, I will just do a shout out, because shout outs are cool. There are, Cape Town's got Pride Shelters where we look after people, and do you know what the coolest thing about these shelters? It's not just for gays and lesbians and transsexuals. If there's somebody that has been kicked out of their home for other reasons, we will also try to help them.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to just stick it to one
pigeonhole.
But people are people, and in the great words of Barbara Streisand, are the happiest people in the world. Well, hold on, that's just a bit of a lie. Craig, look forward to seeing you in Born to Perform, my friend. And you got my number, and I've got you, Craig. We're going to do some crazy stuff together. Don't worry about that one. Thank you very much, Craig Lucas, for joining us. That's winner of The Voice. Kind of cool, wonderful. Hey? Wow. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, cool. Wonderful.
Cool. Brave. Bravery of the soul. Coming back now to Freud's last session, Daphne's Place, the Theatre on the Square, the Orton General Theatre. Carolyn Stain, because it always is important. Carolyn's the patron of the theatre. We love her work.
Yes.
Again, it's such a wonderful, intimate space to be able to perform this type of show.
It's great. The acoustics work brilliantly in that space. You really don't have to stress yourself at all. And we can really create quite an intimate experience. It's quite fantastic. Yeah.
Graham, what do you love about being an actor or being in the business? I think it's a bigger question. Yeah, what do you love about it?
It's such a difficult one, you know. I mean, you were talking about fame earlier on, and I think if you're looking for fame, don't become an actor. Mm. I mean, there are other ways of getting celebrity status. Yeah. And, you know, it's not about fame.
Twitter and show your boobs, is that?
Yeah, exactly.
It really isn't. And I mean, you know, I'm flattered if people, you know, recognize me or seen something I've done and say that's great, but it's not about celebrity status. I love the fact that I love the camaraderie. I love, you know, you. I mean, I haven't really kind of connected with Anthony before in the way we play Scrabble in the dressing room and really got to know him well. And this is what happens: is that you work really closely with people for a while, and you become, you know, it's the camaraderie is just fantastic, and it's constantly changing because one day you're doing a pantomime or a musical, and the next you're doing a really serious play, and next you're doing a comedy,
and then you're doing King Lear,
which is phenomenal. Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I had fantastic opportunity to go and do King Lear at university in the United States, and we did it in the original pronunciation,
correct.
So not in received pronunciation, the modern. So yeah, it's just the variety, and I've done things that I would never have dreamed of doing. I've flown a light aircraft, actually sat in the pilot seat and flown it because the co-pilot was actually flying it, but she was teaching me how to do it at the same time, so I actually flew a plane. I've abseiled down mountains, things that I would never have dreamed of doing, because I've had to do them on screen, so you do them, you know. Yeah. it's wonderful. I've traveled all over the world. It's been wonderful.
And for you Anthony?
Yeah, it's very similar things.
It's the craziest thing you've done. Come on.
I can't speak to the craziest thing I've done, but I got to shoot two movies in Mauritius earlier this year, which was a treat. I was there for 2 months. And phenomenal. Yeah, riding horses and scuba diving and that sort of thing, because that's what the movies were about. Mm. Yeah, it's quite an adventure being an actor.
And something I would like to ask you guys, it's film, television, stage, all completely different. Which one, if they had to say, you had to pick one? It's a hard question.
They're all completely different disciplines, and you have to get your head into that space. One of the things that I really enjoyed while watching this movie that they made of Maggie Smith, the four old dames, and they got them around a table and they were talking about it. And you know, people like Maggie Smith and Judi Dench saying the one thing that is universal is when you're on a big film set, you think it's terribly glamorous and you've got your trailer and all that kind of stuff. But they said, and these are the top performers, they said it is utterly, utterly terrifying. And
really?
I was quite glad to hear that, because it is terrifying. You know, when you've got a set of 150 crew, and there are carriages and horses and lights and everything, and suddenly the camera is on you.
And it's your line. Yes.
Terrifying.
Big pressure. Terrifying. Yeah.
Sometimes more terrifying than live performance in front of 1,000 people.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, because remember that horse cart has to go past you at that exact time,
and you don't say that right, not fluff it.
Yeah.
Time is money. Yeah.
you get maybe 10 takes, but I mean seriously, the horse is still got to go back.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, then you've got to clean up the horse shit
the stakes are really high. Yeah. The stakes can be really high, and it can be utterly terrifying.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful to hear, you know, seasoned at the absolutely, you know, the most famous of actresses actually admitting to that and saying it's terrifying. It's terrifying.
Comforts one.
It's wonderful, but it's terrifying.
Mm.
And Birksie said to us when I started radio with him 20 years ago, if you don't have the butterflies in the stomach before you get on stage, there is something wrong.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's when you don't.
No, you will be
step,
flat. You'll be
then
flat.
Then step out the business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're ever going to be so sure, you're in the wrong field.
Yeah.
Which is everybody shakes and shivers, and that's takes the breath, and so you obviously feel that way when you get on stage.
Yeah, yeah, I think theatre is more of an actor's medium. The TV is more of a director's medium, which certainly in this country we shoot very quickly, and it's all about getting the shot in the can and moving on. Theatre, at least there's you know, there's more scope to take ownership of what you do. It's a much more rewarding experience, I think.
For an actor.
Yeah, I think it's
as
right.
An actor,
I think that audience members tend to think that movies are more real. But in fact, for the actor, they're not, because it's made in little sections which are cut together on an editing floor, and that's you go and watch it afterwards. But on stage, you hold that stage, and for the time that you're on the stage, it's
exactly.
And then in music,
well, I mean, it's the same thing, because if you go into a studio and you fluff a note, you can try 20 times to get that until it's right, and then you put it in. On stage, you have one chance. The same as you when you're acting, you've got one performance. You have one chance to sing that song with that audience, and you have to actually get it right.
We opened the show with Julia Sainsbury and getting young people to the theatre school. To the colleges, and we have a number of them, as I said, born to perform, doing it as well.
Sure.
Advice to young people. Anthony.
Hang in there.
Graham.
And go and watch theatre. Lots of people in theatre schools who don't actually go and see what's on. When I started off, I mean, I love going to the theatre. I love seeing theatre.
Do your own thing. Get out there and do your own thing. Sell yourself. Show people what you're about, because no one's going to find you.
And a very important thing that Graham Hockman said was that diversity is important.
Exactly.
Voiceover work.
Yes.
Then go and work on the voice, because you can. I don't mean the voice, Craig Lucas. I'm just saying on your voice.
On your voice.
Go and if you can sing. Pantos are fun. Then do a panto. What I'm saying is fill the gaps.
Yes. Use every talent you've got, basically.
To fill the gaps.
Yes.
Because you don't want to be sitting 3 months.
Yeah.
It'll drive you crazy.
Yeah.
It'll drive you mad. I want to thank our very special guests in studio, Graham Hopkins and Anthony Coleman, the Freud's last session.
We've got four last sessions to go.
Yes, correct. That's what I wanted to punt. Four more shows to go. Does it go anywhere else after this?
No, not yet.
We're hoping to take it elsewhere in the country, but I think it is the last chance to see it in Joburg.
So please get the tickets. Now the four more shows until Sunday.
Tonight, Friday, Saturday.
Two shows on Saturday.
Okay,
yes.
Great. So please don't miss the show. And of course, at Daphne's Place, the Auto and General Theatre on the square. And it's close. It's wonderful. Please go and see the show. It's wonderful. And see the work that they're doing. Very quickly, what's up next?
What's up next? I'm going to Curse of the Starving Class in Cape Town at the Baxter Theatre in October.
In October. Graham, where are you next?
A television series which is still under wraps.
Great, keep that under wraps. Okay, Christine and the Kilts, a Feast of Celtic Song, happens next week also at the theatre.
We're taking over from them. We're taking over their
wonderful
slot.
And how long is it going on for?
It's going on for 2 weeks only. So we've got two short weeks to do it in.
And how big is the troupe?
There are six of us. There's a fiddler, there's an accordion player, there's a guitar. A drummer and a bass player.
Promise me next week you'll pop in and do a quick song.
Lovely. We would love
to. Will you do that?
Yes,
give it another punt.
We'll bring the whole show, the whole cast
in and do a song.
Definitely.
Will you do that with me?
Definitely.
Wonderful. I want to thank everyone for joining us on today's show. It's really been great to have Christine Weir, Anthony Coleman, Graham Hopkins, Delia Sainsbury. Of course, don't forget, open auditions are happening. Go Google it. It's that easy. That's how you do stuff. And Craig Lucas, one other voice. He'll be performing with Born to Perform at the Lyric Saturday at 7:30, Sunday 11, and at 2:30 in the afternoon. Paxton from Idols is there. I also want to congratulate him for making that brave step of coming out. My name is Alan Ford, and of course, this is the show that keeps you smiling and entertained. It is The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous.
This is CliffCentral.com.